I forgot how much I was talking college football.
Oh, dude, I can't stop. I should have warned you, Jeff.
Fantasy football, you dealing with the best. Keep it hype, authentic, just ain't nothing like the rest. With the Armchair Fantasy Show podcast, give advice for all the listeners to improve your stats. Yeah, yeah, we live on goingfortwos.com. Tuesdays and Fridays, this is what you want. Talking dynasties and daily drafts, and we just getting started. That ain't even the half, yeah. So go ahead, tell your friends to join. Going for two, cause no one remembers the extra point. Hey, goingfortwos.com. The Armchair Fantasy Show.
What's going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 93 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert, and you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We have a brand new intro, as you just saw. It's a lot shorter than my first intro, so hopefully that's it goes better on YouTube. I'm here with, as always, my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. Ryan, how you doing tonight?
Fantastic. Right, see the GOAT get into the Hall of Fame tomorrow, give his speech.
Yeah, let's see the jersey.
Got the Ed Reed rocking.
There it is.
Did you see him last night, that big old stogie?
No, I didn't see him. Oh, wait. I think I may have saw him on Twitter. I didn't realize that was him, though. He had the beard, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Also with us tonight, Zach Thomas, as I mentioned in the opening, you can follow him on Twitter at FFDynasty_ZTP. He's the CEO and head scout of the Dynasty Draft Room, writer for the Gridiron Experts, and also covers the Vikings for thevikingage.com. Zach, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing awesome, man. How you guys doing?
Great, man. I'm great. I'm glad to talk some football again, man. I've had a hectic day, so just sit down and talk some football is what I want to do.
Oh, dude. Same here, man. But a crazy Friday. I'm just happy for it to be over and sit down and talk some football with you guys. Love what you guys do, and I'm happy to be on.
Good stuff. All right, so tell us, you work for like everywhere, it looks like. Draft Room, you're grad and experts, you're everywhere. So, man, tell me what you do over there, those sites.
Yeah, no, I started writing for FF Dynasty 260, and we actually ended up merging with Gridiron Experts, kind of starting to run their Dynasty area over there and really pushing out some good content. It's been fun working with those guys. And then we actually brought over Matt Hicks and he hit me up. He's like, hey, dude, we should start a podcast. You know, kind of got the subject line down. Me and him started just doing a podcast a couple months ago. And that's been awesome. That's been a blast doing the podcast weekly with him. And then I was actually covering the Vikings for Last Word on Sports. And I got hit up by Adam Patrick here, and he was like, hey, dude, come over to Viking Age and let's get some content pushed. So I moved over to Viking Age, and that dude's awesome, man. I love writing for the Viking Age and covering my favorite team. That's my squad over there. So covering them, going down to training camp, seeing what they got going on down there. It's been a blast.
Awesome, man. Good stuff. And Ryan, I know you're big on rankings for college and all that, and that's kind of what he does there. Do you have any questions as far as how he does his rankings and how he comes up with it?
I mean, too many to ask on air, but yeah, starting this early is crazy. I'm attempting to hop in this early. Normally, I don't start until maybe November.
So, man, I can tell you my process if you'd like. I'll just run through it quick.
I'd love it. I just felt like it was going to be too difficult to explain real quick. That'd be part of itself, but I'd love to hear it.
No, it's pretty simple for me. I mean, I played football. I mean, my whole entire life I played, all the way through high school. Unfortunately, couldn't make it to the college level. I'm not that good, but I'm a student of the game. I love watching football. I love scouting it. I've been scouting it since 2016, I think it was 2016. So I decided to like just try to get a whole process going down. Like, what do I need to look for? What do I need to really start grading? And I kind of came up with a process that really works for me. And last year I started doing some summer scouting just to kind of get like a feel for the class before they really start getting into the draft process. And it's just really worked for me. I think I really started to get to know the draft class from this current year. I just really got into it more, even more this year. I mean, I'm hitting over 100 prospects right now. I mean, I'm still counting. I plan on hitting a bunch more before the college season starts. And then I start getting into this year's game film and start getting into like their, even their personalities and what they like to do and what they're all about. So, I mean, the whole draft process begins in the summer for me and ends on day one of the draft.
Nice. That's pretty awesome. I mean, I guess, we're kind of excited about the off season going into the season, and you're excited for the off season because you're going into the next season. It's kind of crazy to think about. You're thinking that far ahead of us.
I finished my first college draft today, actually. And they got rough in them late rounds. Yeah. I'm in it with Matt, actually.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, him and Chris. Yeah. It was a little rough coming late.
Yeah, Matt's team probably sucks.
I won't say that on air.
Yeah, you can come talk to me about it later.
All right, guys, let me go ahead and give you the quick promo that we got going on. We have a DraftKings DFS charity contest going on right now. Basically, it's free to sign up. Donations are optional. All money goes to fantasycares.net, which, of course, is Scott Fish's charity that he does for the Scott Fish Bowl. It's basically a 1,000-man tournament. The only way you can get in this tournament is to go to goingfortwo.com/charity. You're just going to register there, basically get your email and your DraftKings name, and once the contest goes live, I will email everybody the contest URL. Also on that page is the GoFundMe page where you can drop, you know, $5, $10, whatever you want to do. Just drop it to the GoFundMe page. I think we're up to $430 right now, and we still have quite a few weeks to go, so I'm hoping to get up to at least $1,500 or $2,000 to put in there. So if you haven't joined already, make sure you go there, goingfortwo.com/charity. Let's get into these news and notes.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, guys, so we're going to start with the injuries that we've got going on. There's been a bunch of them here and there, and, you know, because of injuries, there ends up being value in your drafts. And I'm just going to touch on a few of them really quick. We'll go over the really big one first with AJ Green, you know, in the ankle injury. Ryan, if you're an AJ Green owner right now, are you trying to move him for anything, or are you just going to hold him?
I'm holding. I'm not getting... Actually, I'm an AJ Green owner. I'm just not getting lowballed on it. If he misses 5 weeks, we're dynasties. Nobody owns him in redraft yet. I'm not getting rid of him because I'm going to get nowhere near what he's valued at. So I'm holding him for now and hoping he comes back. And if I'm going to move him, I'll try to do it around the end of the season or middle of the season.
Gotcha.
But right now, you're going to get pennies on the dollar. And I'm not messing around with that.
So on the opposite side of that, Zach, if you don't own AJ Green, are you going to go out and buy him on the cheap?
Oh, heck yeah, man. I mean, if I can get him for, you know, like Ryan said, pennies on the dollar, if I can get him for, even a second round pick, I mean, if he's coming back midseason, I mean, he's an elite athlete, someone that can really change the game and add some really good value to your team. And he's definitely worth a second round pick. You know, I'm not trading a first round pick in this 2020 draft. This 2020 draft is sweet. So you want to stockpile those as much as you can. But if I can get him for a 2020 second, absolutely. I mean, like I said, he's going to be a game changer and someone that's really going to help your team.
Awesome. Good stuff. Yeah, I think I'm trying to buy him as well in my leagues. I don't own him in any of my leagues, but if I can get him on the cheap, especially if I have an owner that's had him for a couple years and has been frustrated with his last 2 years, you know, injured for the playoffs, I think I'm going to go out and try to buy him as well. The other big one I got on here is Derrick Henry. It was kind of shady. It came out, you know, that he was injured, but no one knew what was wrong. He was in a walking boot. The team didn't really come out and announce anything. Are you worried about Derrick Henry going into the season, Ryan?
I mean, I'm not a Henry believer either way, but until I hear something serious, I'm not really that worried about. We got a long way till the season starts still, and a lot can happen. The news is bound to break. So I'd probably put out feelers to try to get him, actually.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I think Derrick Henry, I mean, the injury is kind of scary, and, you know, he's not much of a pass catcher either. So if he's, you know, injured at all with that leg and he can't do what he does normally, I don't know if he's going to be able to reach value. But I think that it is, you know, it's preseason, it's early. They're probably being precautionary. What about you, Zach? Are you you looking at Derrick Henry?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's you kind of said it there. It's precautionary. I'm not too worried about this injury at all. And to be honest with you, I'm more of a Henry believer than Ryan is. It sounds like I like what he brings to the table. I mean, I think he's someone that could actually, you know, has some RB2 value, and I think he's going to be drafted as such. So. You know, am I going to go look out and try to buy him? Yeah, I mean, if someone's going to try to sell him cheap, I think he could actually add some starting value to your team. So definitely kind of put some feelers out there and see what you can get for him. What's his ADP? Do you guys know at all?
I think he's
fourth round.
Yeah, I think he's fourth round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about as high as I'd go for him, to be honest with you. I don't think I'd go. I'd probably try to get him to the fifth or something like that. Hope he drops.
Yeah,
I love where Deion Lewis is going, though.
Yeah, what is it going, like 12 or something like that?
Like 12, 13.
Yeah.
For free, basically.
Basically.
Exactly.
Yep. All right, let's go to the opposite end. Let's look at some of these hype trains. Of course, this is the time of year that, you know, you get that one little blurb on Roto World or whatever. Everyone's going through their lineups trying to add these guys that we've never heard of. Unless we're Zach, of course. He's probably knew about him last year, and we're just hearing about him this year. So let's talk about some of these hype trains. They got two rookie receivers, Paris Campbell and Miles Boykin, both of them getting kind of rave reviews in camp. Zach, we'll go to you first. What do you think of these two guys, Paris Campbell and Miles Boykin?
Yeah, I'll start with Boykin. I mean, he's been on the hype train ever since he blew up in the combine. You know, had a hell of a combine. His athletic scores were off the charts. Was not a fan of his tape one bit. I mean, he can go up and get it and whatnot, but he's not going to be that guy who's going to burn you with any type of, you know, true athleticism or anything like that. You know, I'm not going for him at all. That's the one I'm staying away from. But if you're looking at Paris Campbell, Duke can fly, Duke can jump. He can go up and get it, play all over the field. He played inside and outside at Ohio State. Has some solid hands. I think he's definitely someone that can could be a game changer in that Indy offense. But I think he had some news. They just brought in Brandon Marshall for a workout or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought he better watch out, man.
I literally thought he was retired. I had no idea.
I know. I thought he was too. I saw his name. I'm like, actually, I was looking at him for a little something later. But I was like, oh, he's coming back. Never mind. But yeah, no, I think Paris Campbell definitely has some value in fantasy football this year.
All right, Ryan, talk about your boy Boykin. Are you going to defend him?
Oh, here we go.
Was I live on your podcast when Miles Boykin got picked by Baltimore and I was not happy about it?
Yeah, but I think you were. But I was. I had to hop off it because my computer was off. But
I did about 20 receivers last year, 25 receivers, and he was like one of the only ones I missed. So I was really late to come around on him. I like a lot. I like the jump ball thing. I think he's a nice compliment to Hollywood Brown. But he's still pretty quick for being a big guy. He ran a 4.4. 4.41, 4.42. He's still pretty quick for that, but he is roasting guys at camp. I mean, he beat Jimmy Smith like two or three times. I'm not fully on, but I'm buying him cheap.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely buy him cheap, and he's definitely for his size. I mean, you could get a little excited about his quickness, but you look at his game speed. It's like I don't know if I'm too high on him. I'm looking at
their game was so hard though with how bad their QB was last year.
Yeah, what did they had Wimbush and they had. Who's the other guy ahead?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It was bad. It was like every pass was like nowhere near anybody.
I think it's Ian Book or something like that, if I remember right. Because I was just going through who I need to keep looking at, and I think Ian Book was one of them. I might be wrong here. I'm going to look right now. Hang on. Keep talking.
Yeah, I think I did a piece on him as far as a deep sleeper kind of rookie coming in. You know, this is pre-draft that I did it. And I think one of the things that I said was that on tape, he didn't look as fast as his combine. I mean, you look on tape, he got caught from behind a couple of times. But I did notice that he has a really strong hand. I mean, there's a few times where he caught a pass in the end zone away from his body, and the DB is literally hanging on his arm, and the ball does not move in his hand. So, I mean, he's got great hands. If that speed can translate, I think he can be something. But he is cheap right now. I actually drafted him. Or I'm sorry, I didn't even draft him. It was undrafted in my league. I got him picked up on free agency just a couple weeks ago. And I'm excited about him. I'm going to stash him in my taxi squad and see what he does.
Did you hear who Willie Snead compared him to? And it made me, like, nauseous.
No, I didn't.
Yes, I saw it. I can't think of who it is now. Michael Thomas. Upsetting. Michael Thomas, right?
It was Michael Thomas. Yeah. Like, he said, you can't say that, man. This guy just got $100 million. You can't compare nobody to that.
Nope.
So I'm looking at where I had Miles Boykin ranked. I had him behind a few undrafted guys. I'm more excited about undrafted guys than I am about Miles Boykin.
Wow. I feel like everybody had undrafted guys they were super excited about last year.
I agree. Yeah. Actually, there's
like more than ever.
Yep. I think James Williams was my favorite guy coming in. He went undrafted. Then he got cut by the Chiefs, so that didn't work out so well for me either. All right, let's talk about
setting. I was high on it too.
Yeah, I thought for sure he would land somewhere as soon as the Chiefs cut him, but I guess not. All right, two guys I want to talk about are basically two receivers. One of them's a former Redskin, one of them's the current Redskin. Trey Quinn with the Redskins and Mo Harris, who used to be the Redskins, now with the Patriots. You buying the hype with these two guys, Ryan?
Trey Quinn, I like. I've liked him for a while. So he's a guy you can get mostly in free agency or as a toss-in at the end of trade. But I like him. I think they need that slot guy. Their receivers are a dumpster fire. Somebody has to emerge, and he's the only one getting talked about. Josh Doxson, we've been down that road, and I don't want anything to do with most of them, but he's at least a little bit of an upside play. And Patriots, I have no idea of Mo Harris, man.
Yeah.
I heard him heard Harry was dropping balls. Jacoby Myers, they're raving about this week.
Yep.
They just signed. Oh God, who did they just sign today?
Cameron Meredith.
Cam Meredith today. I trust nothing there.
Yeah. Right. What about you, Zach? Trey Quinn, Mo Harris, you buying either one?
Yeah, I'll buy Trey Quinn all day, man. I mean, do you guys know off the top of your head where the Washington Redskins are going for ADP?
Very, very low. I know that.
I don't think any of them are ranked in fantasy football calculator right now. I don't think any of them are even calculated in their ADP. But no, give me Trey Quinn, man. Him at SMU when he was playing with Cortland Sutton, not last year, year before. Oh man, that was fun to watch. Dude's got hands. Dude's got some wheels. He can route run very well. I don't want to say he's a mini Wes Welker, but I mean, he could be a little Wes Welker, dude. I mean, I do have some high hopes for him. I think people are kind of downplaying his skill set just because he's a Redskin, to be honest with you. I know when he got drafted to the Redskins, a lot of people were upset about that, but I'm excited about it. You got Dwayne Haskins coming in eventually, and he'll provide some value for Trey Quinn there. But talking about Mo Harris. Yeah, I mean, Harry's running with the second team right now, man.
I mean,
I can't trust anything over there. But I mean, why not? I mean, why not buy a little Mo Harris? You never know what could happen. I mean, you look at, you know, the guys that they brought in before and they've had success before. So, I mean, there's a possibility you could take a flyer on him if you got someone to drop that's not have any upside. If I'm looking at, I mean, you look at a guy like, I mean, if I'm going to pick between the two, it's going to be Trey Quinn, you know, above and beyond like the Trey Quinn all the way. But Mo Harris, if I need to take a shot, I mean, why not?
Yep. Yeah, I think
Trey
I think
Quinn ADP 264.
264.
That's what it is.
He's basically undrafted. He's he's definitely undrafted. All right, so I had some buzz kills here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, draft that dude. Get him drafted. Yeah,
definitely.
Bump that ADP up.
A couple buzz kills. We just talked about N'Keal Harry a little bit, but a couple more that I want to talk about with Kenyon Drake. You know, he's been a guy that's been, you know, everyone's high on him coming into the season, and then we hear that Balazs is actually getting first team reps. What do you think about Drake and the Balazs situation in Miami, Zach?
Oh man, Drake's a home run hitter, dude. He's gonna be that guy. He's gonna get 9 carries. He's gonna go for 100 yards. I can just see it. Like that's what he's gonna do all year. And Balazs is gonna get you like 20 carries and rush for 50. You know, I think it's gonna be one of those things. I'm not a Balazs fan. Wasn't a fan of his coming out of Arizona State. I know Matt likes him, but I'm not huge on him. I do, to be honest with you, think that Balazs is going to get more carries, though. But if you're going to go for fantasy points, I think Drake's going to be getting you more fantasy points. I mean, he can catch the ball well. Balazs can catch the ball well too. But I just think Drake's got the wheels, and he's going to be a boomer bust play. He's going to be one of those guys that you're just going to kind of hope for a big play, kind of like Kenny Stills. You know, when you're playing Kenny Stills last year, you were hoping for that like 80-yard bomb touchdown.
Right.
That's going to be what you're hoping for with Kenyon Drake. I mean, to be honest with you, just stay away from these Dolphins players. Name an offensive lineman outside of Laremy Tunsil on that offensive line. I can't.
Can't do it.
Not to do with Dolphins at all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I agree. Kalen Balazs, not good at football. He has the worst vision I've seen since I started watching film. Like, he cannot find holes at all. Like, he can run outside zone, and that's it.
So you're not buying Drake or Balazs?
No, I mean, if I get Drake at the right price, yes. But, man, he's going to be the most frustrating fantasy asset. The weeks you have him starting, he is going to drop, like, 2 points. The weeks you have him on the bench, he's going to drop, like, 20. Man, you're something to hate. I want him.
All right, good stuff. All right, so we're going to get into the 2020 class now. I've said this before on the podcast. I am not a big college football fan, not at all. I don't even watch it. I usually don't even know these guys' names until they come to the draft, and I start studying them, you know, after the season. So a couple of these guys, I probably can't even pronounce their names. That's how much of a college fan I am. So hopefully Ryan and Zach can help me out here. We'll kick it off with the QBs here. The guy that I actually do know, because I've heard the saying "tank for Tua." You know, he's the one that everybody knows. So Zach, talk about him a little bit. Is he the real deal? Is he the next number one overall pick, you think, in the draft?
Oh man, I had to get convinced for a while about him being number one over Tua, but he's my one. I mean, this guy has unbelievable touch on his ball. Like, I'll tell you right now, he doesn't have like tremendous arm strength or nothing like that. Like, that's not something I'm going to rave about, is his arm strength. It's not that, not unbelievable. But when you can put the ball wherever you want to, and you can still toss the ball downfield 50 yards and accurate, and he's got such good anticipation, such good awareness of the field. I mean, there's a play where, forget the team that he's playing, but he's passing to Henry Ruggs. Ruggs is on the right side, and he's run this post corner post route right to the back of the end zone. And he just reads the field so well. He's a lefty too, which kind of throws me off when I'm scouting him. But he feels the pressure coming on his backside there off the right tackle, and he just steps up, slides to the right, reads the free safety going towards Judy, and then and just reads Ruggs' break and puts it right in the back corner of the end zone. Ruggs has to run like another 15 yards before he's going to go get it, but it's just in a perfect spot, and he knows exactly who he's playing with, and it's just, it's tremendous anticipation, the way he can just read a field, read defense, you know, the way he feels pressure on his backside, where, you know, just feels pressure in general, and his footwork in the pocket is it's elite, man. I mean, this dude deserves to be a number one overall pick.
All right, good stuff. What about you, Ryan? You agree with that?
Yeah, I love to. He's unreal. He'd have been my number one this year. Like, he hits everybody. He spreads the ball around. You don't see a lot of QBs spreading it like he does in college. I mean, most don't have the weapons that he does, but he puts it everywhere, and he's comfortable in the pocket. He'll take the hit and still make the throw. I mean, he did against Clemson.
Yep.
He's unreal.
All right. So that is definitely a number one overall pick right there. I mean, I've heard it, you know, all season, tank for Tua. Everybody seems to be wanting him as the number one overall pick. What about this next guy on the list here, Justin Herbert? Yep. Justin Herbert from Oregon. Is he in the same, you know, tier as Tua, or are we dropping down a tier with this guy, Zach?
No, they're in the same tier. They're in the same tier, but Herbert's got a little bit more to work on. I think all the tools are there. He's got very good ball placement. Very good zip on his ball too. I mean, he can toss a ball downfield very well. Just he loses some mechanics when he tosses the ball deep. Has some good pocket awareness. His footwork is very, very good. Kind of like I talked about with Tua. I like the way he steps in his drops. His steps and his drops are they're superb. I like what I see out of that. At times, though, I can see him retreat too far. So there's like little things like that where he retreats too far in the pocket. You know, where he kind of gets disconnected from his body when he's chucking the ball deep. Where I'd like to see all that kind of come together a little bit more before I really call him like the number one overall quarterback. So I did have him for a while until I watched Tua, and I was like, nope, I can't put him above there. But he reads coverage very well. He knows where to throw the ball, especially in man or he knows how to throw man open in the zones. So I'm very impressed with him, but there's just like these little things that I need him to work on to really, really just bring it all together.
Would he have been your number one this year if he came out?
Yeah, he'd have been my number one this year. I was really kind of upset he didn't, because I was like, I need someone to talk about for the quarterbacks this year.
I was shocked he didn't come out, man.
Yeah, I was too. I was really shocked, man. That was one of the things where I was like, oh no, like I got to take him off my database. Like, come on, I don't want to.
I don't know how you can go top. No, you're coming top five and not go out.
No. But you know, like I talked about, just these little things he's got to work on. I'm really glad he stayed in, because you know there's some things that he can work on at a lower level and really just dominate these college defenses, especially in the Pac-12, and really work on things that he's got to work on and become that top number, you know, elite type of quarterback. I mean, we could be looking at one and two quarterbacks like we did with Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota here. So I mean, this could be another year where we see two quarterbacks go top one and two.
Nice. All right, there's two more guys on this list that I got. Jacob Eason, is that how you say it? Eason or Eason?
Eason,
yep. Eason. And then Jake Fromm, who I guess Ryan is not a huge fan of. So talk about these two guys a little bit.
Yeah, man. No, not a lot of people are high on Fromm, and I think I'll speak for Ryan when I say not many people like his accuracy. The dude probably made Riley Ridley look like complete trash when Ridley's actually kind of solid. No, I'll talk about Fromm though. He's my number four. I like what I see out of him in the majority of the game. I mean, there's just times where I want to see him like just put the ball right in between the numbers of his receiver, and he's tossing it like 10 yards over his head. And I'm like, come on, dude. But he puts the ball, you know, over the middle and just guns it right to where he needs it. His short to mid intermediate areas of ball placement are very solid. He has issues driving the ball outside of the numbers, though. That's one thing I noticed is when you get some out routes or you drive the ball to just outside the numbers towards the boundaries, has a hard time really putting that ball where it needs to be. One thing I like, though, is he moves solid in the pocket. He's actually got some decent speed. He's effective rolling out. He can throw on the run very well. here's one thing that I just knock him on huge. Like, this is what brings him down that just down to where I'm confused where how badly he beat Eason out, is that he cannot identify a blitz, especially when he's in shotgun. And Georgia plays in the shotgun more often than not. He is like gun shy when he's in the shotgun, no pun intended, but he just he looks to, he's a better thrower than he's a runner, obviously, but he just cannot identify where that blitz is coming from. And it's like, dude, come on.
Even so, I saw that one.
That's one. Yeah, it's like, dude, I'm pointing out protection right now, and I know exactly where it's coming from. And he's like, oh, here it comes. I'm going down. But yeah, I don't know. Ryan, you want to talk about how you feel about Fromm? Because
I feel like he's just a boring prospect. I feel like he's a he agrees with me as well. I feel like he's a less polished Alex Smith. Like, he can make those easy throws.
Dude, you nailed it, though. That's it. Like, he's a less polished Alex Smith. That's just it. That's exactly it.
Right, it's not anything exciting. He could maybe be a quality starter who you have to have a ton of talent around to be successful, a la what they have at Georgia right now, or what we've seen before. But I'm not there, man. I don't want a guy like that on my team. After having a team with mediocre quarterback play for so long, I'm over it, especially with a guy who's just not going to do anything that special.
All right.
No, I hear you. I'm with you. You want to talk about J.K. Beeston, though? I mean, talk about a prospect that you got to be a little bit. It's a little bit. How do I explain J.K. Beeston? Not enough. you get one really, full season, and he did fairly well. I was excited about what I seen from him. It was back in like 2016. He's very accurate to all areas of the field: short, intermediate, deep. Very, very accurate. I liked a lot of what I seen. Throws to the sidelines very well, like very accurate. This is one thing that Fromm cannot do is throw to the sidelines, and it's what Eason does very, very well. Very big arm, very lively. His pocket awareness, he gets out of rhythm when he's under pressure in the pocket. That's one thing that I don't like about him. And he's not fast, so he doesn't have good escapability. So I think that's one thing that really knocks him down from being anywhere from that elite tier where Tua or Herbert is. It's another thing he needs to work on is reading zones when you have that open window. It's one thing that he doesn't have very good anticipation of when that window's going to open, and he's got to really just be able to throw that receiver open instead of putting him in constant areas of getting just lit up over the middle of the field.
I feel like that's something he's not going to get at Washington either, because they're so spread out and their guys are always wide.
Yeah. You don't think he'll be good in Washington because
No, I think he'll be good in Washington.
Okay,
I don't think it'll help his development with throwing receivers open, because they run such a spread concept in there. Everybody's open there. They always have guys who throw for a ton of yards.
Yeah, you 100% nailed it, man. I mean, being that spread, it's not going to help your development trying to figure out where that zone's going to open up it's not going to be what you're going to want to see out of an NFL level quarterback. And people are going to look at him and be like, look at the stat line. I bet you he throws for over 3,500 yards and puts up nearly 30 touchdowns, and people are going to get ecstatic. And they'll be like, oh my gosh, look at this stud quarterback. We should draft him in the first round. And then it's going to be like, well, no, there's going to be another 5 years until this dude's fully developed and we can really put him into our starting lineup and be really happy about him.
Yeah, but he's built like a quarterback, so they'll love him.
What is he, 6'5" and 230 or something like that?
Yeah, he's built. He looks like a quarterback, so
he'll be the one that they say he has all the tools. He has all the physical tools, but that happens all the time, and then they end up being not very good quarterbacks. Is there anybody else that we didn't talk about that you think is a good prospect, Zach?
I mean, I'll just run through it really quick. I mean, I don't need to be, get to go too deep into these guys, but just keep an eye on a guy like Jordan Love. If he comes out and has a good year, I mean, I could see him going early day or late day too. KJ Costello, if he has a bounce back year, I think Brian Lewerke is better than what we've seen last year. Riley Neal's transferring to Vanderbilt from Ball State. I think he's a decent prospect as well. Joe Burrow out of LSU can be exciting at times. I think he's a confident quarterback that can do some special things. Felipe Franks, if you can fix his mechanics, he can be a solid quarterback. He's also built he's tall for a quarterback, 6'6", 214. But I think he has some like late day three, like round six or seven type excitement, where you know you could maybe think about, you know, developing him into a high end backup quarterback. You know, if a guy goes down, he could step in and fill that role solid. But other than that, two guys I want to talk about that I don't like: Nathan Stanley out of Iowa, terrible. Sam Ellinger out of Texas, everyone's hyped about him. I don't get it. He's the next Tim Tebow. He's going to be out of the league in 2 years, going to play baseball or something. he's going to actually might end up being the next fullback for a team or something like that. I don't see a really solid quarterback. I see him more of someone that's going to be running downfield blocking or something like that.
All right, good stuff. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the tight ends real quick. You know, I got three tight ends written down here. Is this going to be a tight end light draft? I mean, this year we seem to have like every tight end came out and everybody was high on all the tight ends here. Now this class doesn't seem quite as deep, or am I wrong?
No, man, you're wrong. This is going to be a really solid class that not many people are talking about. I was just talking with, who was I talking with? I forget who it was. But anyways, I was talking with someone about how this tight end class is not being talked about enough. And I know a lot of people, you know, fall asleep when they're scouting tight ends. It's not that fun. It's boring. But I'll tell you what, man, there is some athletic flipping tight ends in this class. You look at a guy, my number one guy is Bryson Hopkins. Out of Purdue, he's a redshirt senior, 6'5", 245. The dude runs routes with the best of them. I mean, he could probably run a route better than Evan Engram right now. I mean, he's solid at he's just athletic. He's very good. I'm very excited about him. Has solid hands. Purdue is looking like a really solid offense, and if they can work it through Bryson Hopkins, and Rondell Moore, it's going to be fun to watch those two guys. But a guy like looking at a good duo there as well. That's another dude who's like extremely athletic. I mean, all these guys are athletic. I mean, look at like Grant Calcaterra from Oklahoma. I mean, even Harrison Bryant from FAU, Mitchell Wilcox, who I thought was going to come out this year from South Florida, who would have been a pretty good, high end prospect for tight ends this year as well. I mean, there's a lot to get excited about. Colby Parkinson, who was the tight end that came out this year from Stanford? I'm drawing a blank because I've been too deep into the 2020 prospects. he didn't get too many looks, but I mean, there's just so many tight end prospects to really get excited about. I mean, a lot of people are looking at Albert Okuwegabunam. I cannot say his name right. Well, Okuwegabunam.
Doing better than me.
From Missouri, but like everyone's super hyped about him, and they're talking about him being the best tight end in this class. And to be honest with you, I'm not too sold on him, but I'm really excited about these guys that no one's really talking about. You know, Jared Pinkney out of Vanderbilt, the redshirt senior, who I was hoping would come out this year as well. You know, he's 6'4", 255. They all have really solid hands, really athletic, run routes very, very solidly. And there's a lot of guys you can be pretty excited about this year.
All right, so maybe the tight end position is going to be turning around here pretty soon. I know it's kind of a dead position in the NFL right now, but, with the draft we had this year, then you're saying that it's pretty deep next year too, then maybe we'll get some good guys in the NFL and that position won't be a wasteland anymore.
Dude, you're going to be looking at like the top 12 guys and you're going to be like, all right, who do I take? Like who's going to be the top 12 guys? Cause we're going to be like, it's going to be like I'm over exaggerating here, but it's going to be like the running backs. You got to find that top 12 guy to really change your team around. You know?
I'm never looking at tight ends again, hopefully.
As a Ravens fan.
I have a million of them.
You do
have quite a few.
I did. I feel really good about my college draft now because I took Hopkins in like the eighth round.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
So you made me feel real good about that.
You should feel good about that. He's solid. But a lot of these guys get flexed out, man. Like, you want to talk about like the Dallas Goedert that everyone's excited about that get flexed out, the Evan Engrams that get flexed out. This is like eight of these guys, nine of these guys in this class all get flexed out wide.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Nice. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will tackle the running backs and the receivers.
In the unpredictable world of fantasy sports, when all hope seems lost and chaos and confusion rule, one hero will rise. And change everything. Going4two.com. Because no one remembers the extra point.
We'll be right back.
right, guys, welcome back. I'm here with Zach and Ryan, and we are talking 2020 prospects for fantasy football. And we have gotten to the great position here. But before we get to that position, I'm going to mention one more time our DFS contest for charity that we got going on. The URL is goingfor2.com/charity. It's a DFS week one contest for DraftKings. They put up some prizes for us. DraftKings supplied us with some DK swag, some DK dollars for prizes to entice everybody to kind of join in. And then, of course, we're taking donations through my GoFundMe page, which is also on the link there, goingfor2.com/charity. It's a free contest to join. Just jump in there, win some prizes, and then raise some money for a good charity. It's going to fantasycares.net, which is Scott Fish's charity that he set up that basically buys kids toys during the season, during the holiday seasons. So it's a great cause. It's a great tournament. So please just jump on there and join that. All right, we're getting to the running backs here, and this is another guy that I actually know his name because I know he's been talked about quite a bit, and that's DeAndre Swift from Georgia. Is he all that everything's cracked up to be? Is he the number one fantasy pick next year?
Oh, dude, where do I start, man? This guy has it all. I mean, he can pass catch, very good at pass protection even. I mean, that's something that's going to keep you on the field for three downs. In the NFL and in college. So, I mean, that's huge. His vision to be able to see the holes, I mean, his balance keeps very low to the ground. I mean, it's unbelievable what this dude can do. And everyone's talking about Travis Etienne out of Clemson being the number one guy. Nah, it's DeAndre Swift, man. This guy is everything and more. I mean, this guy pick next year. From everything I've seen last year, that's exactly what he deserves to be. I mean, he does it all. I mean, he rushed for over 1,000 yards, and I mean, he rushed for 618 yards with his freshman year with Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel there. I mean, the dude can do it all, man. I'm excited for this guy this year.
Ryan, how are you on Swift? Are you high? It's high in him as well.
Yeah, he's my number one. He's awesome. He said he does everything. He's explosive. He can actually he can catch on, like, that's what separates him from the next guy we're about to talk about. And he does it all. He's going to be a three down back. He's going to be the centerpiece of the team's offense.
Yeah. One thing about Swift, man, I mean, the thing he does best is, like, bait these linebackers up into the hole, and he can just plant his foot and just cut to the outside and just get upfield. And it's just, it's decisive. It's scary. And defenders are not going to be able to anticipate what he's going to do. And I'm just, yeah, man, I can't wait for him.
I did not realize he was as short as he was. He's compact, man.
What's that?
I didn't realize he was only 5'9".
Five nine. He's compact. I think he's, from what I heard, he's like almost 225 right now too.
Wow.
he put on like 10 more pounds this off season, but we'll see what he looks like there. I hope he doesn't lose any more speed than he doesn't already have, because that's one thing that he lacks is some, like, tremendous long speed. He doesn't have any of that, but his acceleration and way you can break away from defenders is fine. I'm not too concerned about it, but I would, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more speed. And if he's putting on more weight, I'm going to be a tiny bit concerned,
but
nothing that's going to push him out of my one right now.
All right, so let's go to the number two. The number two you got on the list here, he was someone you already mentioned a little bit. So why is he number two and not number one?
Oh, just because of his receiving ability, man. He sucks in the passing game. This dude is, like, the most electrifying running back that I've seen since, like, Adrian Peterson, man. I'm not even kidding. Like, his explosiveness, the way he can just burst and just be gone, and his balance, his vision, his instincts, like, all the above. Like, it's everything you want in a running back, but you got to catch the ball. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen enough of Adrian Peterson where, like, he was just a running back. He wasn't that guy that's going to be a dual threat out of the backfield. He couldn't catch the ball too well. He had a hard time hanging on the ball. That's kind of what Etienne is, and I don't want to put him, like, in Adrian Peterson, like, class or nothing like that. Dude, I've seen some flashes of AP when I was watching him. You know, I've seen a bunch of him as a Vikings fan and whatnot. This dude's going to be an exciting player. I mean, there's no knock on him being number two. I mean, if you want to put him number one, sure. But Swift just Swift separates because of his receiving ability. Etienne, though, is a great running back. Just needs to catch the ball.
He's so explosive.
Oh, it's so cool.
Like, literally, he's every time he touches the ball, you just hold your breath because he can be gone. He actually said in an interview he wasn't comfortable catching the ball, which it's one of those things.
Don't say that.
Be honest, but don't be honest in public.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's certain things you just don't want to say. All right, moving on to the number three guy you got on here, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. What's his deal?
Yeah, he's a stud, dude. I mean, he's rushed for 4,171 yards in 2 years. It's unbelievable what he's done. The one thing that scares me, though, is that 606 rushing attempts that he's got. He's averaging almost 7 yards a carry. He has 29 touchdowns. These are all in 2 seasons. Like, it's unbelievable. Doesn't catch the ball too often, so I'm not gonna look at him being a huge receiving back. He wasn't asked to do that too much. But he's quick, man. He doesn't have good long speed, but he's fast, man. He's a track star too. I think he runs track at Wisconsin as well, or at least he did in high school or something like that. But yeah, no, he's got good vision, good instincts, can hit the hole very well. But Wisconsin's O-line's like one of the best in the nation, so that might contribute to it a little bit. But I'm not going to take anything away from him. But no, I think he can be a very solid, like, middle of the road type of running back, someone that's going to be, you know, fantasy worthy. I mean, we're talking about like a David Montgomery being he's better than David Montgomery, but I'm just trying to compare him to kind of where we're at this year, you know, kind of like a David Montgomery range where we're drafting him like middle, just, you know, before the 10th round or wherever it is. I think he could be something like that next year where people get excited about him and look for him to kind of take over an offense, which I think is something he could do. I think he could be one of those, you know, I mean, I don't want to say Leonard Fournette because he was one of those guys that was like a high first round draft pick. But I think if you're looking at Leonard Fournette this year where he's drafted, I think that's kind of where you're going to be looking at Jonathan Taylor, because I think he's going to be a very, very solid running back in the NFL. All
right. Is he a three down back in your eyes?
No, that's the other thing. Thanks for bringing that up, because yeah, I don't think he's going to be a three down back. I think he's someone that's going to be coming off the field on third downs, because there's one note I have on here is his pass protection is just like kind of stand up a linebacker at times, but then there's other times where he just kind of like feels like he just wants to get blown up, I guess. Like, he just doesn't want to try. He's just like, oh, okay, you knock me on my ass and I'll get up later, whatever, and knock my quarterback over. Okay, whatever. You know, it's like he doesn't carry the pass block as often as you like to see it, you know, especially from guys like DeAndre Swift and Travis Etienne who do it pretty well.
Jordan Howard, somebody he's similar to in your eyes then? That's kind of like how it's sounding a little bit.
You know, yeah, but he's a better runner than Jordan Howard. I think he's a lot quicker. I see where you're going with that. Where it is pretty similar, but I think he's got some better traits than Jordan Howard. And I'm not like low on Jordan Howard either. But this is how high this running back class could be. I mean, we could be looking at, you know, 3, maybe even 4 potential first round running backs. And I'm not even exaggerating a little bit or getting too hyped over this class, because that's how good they are.
When you say first round, you mean first round NFL draft picks?
Or NFL draft,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. I didn't think it was that good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
getting me all excited. I want to draft for fantasy now.
Yeah, wide receiver's even better.
All right. So we got two more guys to round out your top five here. We can talk about both of them at the same time. J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers, who I know Ryan wants to talk about a little bit as well. These two guys, what do you think of these two guys as round out your top five?
You know, I'll talk a little bit about Akers after I talk about Dobbins, and I'll let Ryan kind of take it away because I know you're a Florida State guy. But Dobbins, I really like. I think he needs to get faster. It's not where he's going to make his money, is being extremely quick or extremely fast or nothing like that. But his vision and anticipation and the ability to just kind of use his I don't want to say explosiveness, because he lacks explosiveness as well. But the way he could just kind of stutter his feet and just get upfield and like plant his foot in the dirt and get upfield, but it's not at that like next level that you look for in like a guy like the first three we talked about. Very good receiver out of the backfield. It's almost like he's a receiver catching the ball. I mean, he's got very good hands. There's one where Haskins kind of overthrows him on the screen pass, and he jumps up and makes this one-handed catch, which is really sweet. Addresses the ball very, very well. So I do see him being, you know, I could see him being like a middle second round pick in the NFL draft. And I do think he has a very good, like, I don't see him as a three down back, you know, as Ryan asked before. But there is some traits where I could see him, you know, getting low double digit touches in the NFL at the next level. But it's his backfield this year. I mean, a lot of things could change. Like I said, we're in my summer scouting. So once we get to that next level of scouting, I think, and we'll be looking at this guy a whole lot different, because there's some very good opportunity for him to jump up, especially with Ryan Day, the new head coach here in Ohio State, who's a huge offensive mind. But talking about Cam Akers, though, dude, I love this guy. Honestly, love this guy. So, like, Ryan, I don't know how you feel about him, because I know you're a Florida State guy. You love him?
I love Cam Akers. Oh, dude. Man, when he came in, I've never been that excited about a prospect before. He was number two running back in the country, even though he played quarterback in high school. have you ever seen his high school? Have you ever seen his high school numbers?
Yeah, dude. What did he pass for? He passed for like.
I brought it up because as senior year, he had 3,100 passing yards.
Yeah, that's what it was.
31 TDs to go with 2,100 rushing yards and another 34 TDs. So this dude had 65 touchdowns his senior year of high school.
That's crazy.
he is unbelievably athletic. Like, the dude is like, I don't want to say he's like more athletic than he is like a good runner, because I think he's a very solid runner as well, but he's just so athletic that there's so many tools and so many traits there to get like really, really excited about. Very, very good receiver, good check down option. The thing is, like, he's his best blocker. Like, but what I mean by that is, like, he creates his own space. Like, this dude jukes left, jukes right, spins, jumps over guys, does this, does that, does everything he can to get that extra yard, because he's not getting flipping blocked for, because Florida State's freaking line sucks so bad, man.
The worst line in the league.
Give this guy some space, some time, some holes to just, like, I don't care how big the holes are. I mean, they could be, like, this big, tiny, just little. But just give him a little bit to be able to get some space and just do what he can do, because he's so good, man. I mean, he really is. I'm worried that he's going to get gun shy when he gets to the next level, because he's been beat to death by this Florida State offensive line.
They didn't carry him that. They didn't give him that many carries last year as I feel like they should have, which is good. But I mean, his freshman year, he broke Dalvin Cook's freshman rushing record for Florida State. I love Dalvin, but I thought Cam was better. Like, natural talent wise, like, all around game, he finishes runs like a champion. He runs hard. He's fast. He needs somebody to block for him so he can put it together. Because if he has a season where they actually compete, like you said, he can
Who's your quarterback this year, Blackman or Hornibrook?
I think Blackman, man.
Thank God he didn't say Hornibrook, because he sucks.
Yeah. And I was still bitter about Francois, man. His career just...
He went to the FCS today, dude.
Yeah, he went to Hampton.
Yeah, he went to Hampton.
He was so good as a freshman.
He was so good, but that offensive line just beat the piss out of him.
It's so bad. I last year, I think it's the first year, I didn't watch any game I could. Like, by like week 7 or 8, I'm like dead. I just couldn't handle the beatings anymore.
Oh, it probably hurt, man, because I was watching tape of him and I'm like, yes. And then I'm like, oh no. Like, I don't get it. I had a thread of him, of just like these really solid runs. And then it's like, okay, let me show you why he doesn't have more of these. And it's like their offensive line, three of their guys is blocking one guy, and three guys are coming off the edge and just destroy him. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
He juked three guys before he got to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, this is like the hardest hosting job I've ever had, because I can't offer any insight whatsoever. I just like listening to you guys. So it's a very interesting experience. Let's go ahead and quick fire your last, to run out your top 10 here, quick fire your last five guys at running back.
Yeah, Eno Benjamin, he's legit, man. This dude is overconfident. He's a guy that could just be like, just juke out of your pants and just look at you for like 2 seconds and then burst out of that stance. It's funny. Like, the dude will just juke a guy and like just watch him fall and then keep running. It's kind of funny to watch. But he's going to be really good. I think he's going to be a solid running back. Honestly, if I see a little bit more out of him, more like this, just more balance, someone that can stay upright a little bit more, maybe be a little bit more compact, someone that can keep his feet under him a little bit. There's just some footwork issues that I see that he needs to fix. Zach Moss, who me and Matt talked about last night on the Dynasty Draft Room podcast, really like him. He's a wrecking ball. AJ Dillon, another guy that I don't want to compare him to Derrick Henry, but he kind of reminds me of Derrick Henry in a way, like, just to explain a little bit. He likes to juke people out rather than run you over. You know, he's 6 foot 245. I think you should start trying to run people over. But he likes to just dance in the backfield a little too much. But I really like him out of Boston College. Anthony McFarland Jr. out of Maryland. I believe, is he a redshirt sophomore or a junior? One of the two. Anyway, I think he's a really underrated Big Ten running back who's going to be very, very solid this year. And a lot more people are going to be talking about him. He's actually the guy that I am pounding the table for. I think he's going to be a really solid running back. And then my last one is Trey Sermon out of Oklahoma. a little confused on how they're going to be running their running backs at Oklahoma, because you got Kennedy Brooks there as well, who's very solid. But there's some other guys I like, you know, outside of my top 10, like LaMichael Pierre or Michael Warren or even Larry Roundtree. Keyshawn Vaughn's a solid running back too, but he actually did not make my top 10. And me and Matt had a good argument last night about him. So you should go watch that film from last night. It was pretty entertaining.
Is LaMichael Pierre Ryan related to Samaje?
Yeah, they're cousins.
Okay.
Ryan, is anybody you wanted to talk about before we get to the receivers?
He's really a lot better than Samaje too. I'm going to throw that in there real quick.
So I like Sermon. He's explosive. I thought he was a big play guy. He's another one who's just, I think there's a lot to see, but like I said, Oklahoma, who knows how they use anybody, but they always get their stars the ball. And you know, Benjamin's so well-rounded, man.
So well-rounded.
He went first round of my Devy draft recently, like at the very bottom of it. And I feel like he's a guy who's just going to be a draft darling.
Do you know why I don't like him that much?
No.
He tries to do like too much. Like he's one of those guys that's like I said, overconfident, where he just wants to do just this extra little juke. And like, have you ever seen that clip of him like juking a guy at the goal line when he didn't have to?
Yeah.
So that exploded. And I saw it I saw it over and over again on my timeline. And I just wanted to put out every single time he did something stupid like that. It's just like, he didn't have to do something like that. And it's not just at the goal line, but it's like at the first down marker. Like he'll juke a guy at the first down marker and get blown backwards.
I like decisive running backs, man. But
I don't mind it.
I like guys who are more decisive than that.
Oh, but, yeah.
But no, that's something you learn, though. He's young.
For sure.
And and Arizona State, he's not playing against superstar competition, so he thinks he can do everything.
All right, let's get to the wide receivers. And once again, I know the top guy, and that's about it. Jerry Jeudy seems to be the guy I'm hearing a lot as the number one receiver. How do you feel about Jeudy? Is he going to be like the 102 right next to Swift, or do you think he goes a little bit lower than that in fantasy drafts, Zach?
It was Swift and Jeudy. Oh man, I'm turning back to 102 and just taking whoever I can get, to be honest with you. Whoever falls to me, I'm excited about both these guys. And I'm gonna preface this with a little bit, like, you're gonna see some guys on Twitter start to hate on Jeudy a little bit. I've seen it every now and then, and I'm like really, really confused about it, because this dude is elite, man. Had just 68 receptions, but put up over 1,300 yards and 14 touchdowns. Unbelievably sticky hands, with the best route runner in this class. You know, you can argue that a little bit, but I think he's the best route runner in this class. Tremendous speed, very, very quick, can burn you over the top. Can burn you with how quick he gets in and out of his breaks. Very savvy with his release. Not the biggest guy, but he's going to win you he's not going to win with pure strength, but he's going to beat you with his footwork, his hand fighting, the way he can just deceive you with his hips. If I had to pick one area where he's going to struggle, it's going to be the contested catches. You know, there was times where he might have struggled a little bit with his body positioning. But I mean, again, I'm not going to knock him with that when he's just so agile. I mean, he's Odell Beckham like when he's got the ball and when he's in his route running. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm not going to compare him to Odell, because that's not something I do. I don't compare these young athletes to superstars in the NFL. But I'm just saying, like, you see them do this at the college level, and it was Odell like, and I loved what I saw. Very, very lethal in this change of direction. Makes guys miss. Like, it's crazy what he can do with the ball in his hands. He's unreal.
Some prominent scout, I cannot remember who it is, compared him to Odell. And, like, it didn't make me mad, because that's something that would normally upset me. Like,
it doesn't make me mad either.
He does everything. He's so complete. Like, he said he can – he's probably the best route runner in the class. He's explosive. He makes plays down the field. He runs every route in the route tree. He goes across the middle. He's unreal, man. I mean, he makes Tua's job very easy.
I think it's funny that pretty much every, you know, analyst, scout, whatever, they hate doing player comps. But then everybody that sort of like doesn't know much about it, they love the player comps. They want to see who's this guy compared to, and the analysts don't want to give those players out. So it's kind of funny to hear y'all both talk about not wanting to compare to Odell Beckham, but he's kind of close to Odell Beckham. Just wanted to throw that out there.
No one wants to do player comps. But you always have to do player comps, because
you're forced to.
Everybody wants to hear it.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm always forced to.
Guys are some of these guys are just so original and different. But you just have to kind of try to fix that man. It's just the way he is. Like, his size, skill set, it matches up a little bit. and skill set's so different than projection.
That's exactly it too. I mean, because you can look at a guy's skill set, like you talked about, and be like, all right, you know, he has some skill sets of Odell Beckham, but is he going to put up like 1,500 yards in the NFL? Probably not right away.
Yeah. No, Odell was one of a kind, man.
Yep. Exactly, exactly. So you can't do that. I mean, every player is different. You got to scout them as their own, not as someone else.
All right, let's move on to the number two guy on your list here, CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma.
Oh, my gosh. This dude is awesome. You remember, you know what catch I'm talking about,
yeah, right? The one-handed one in the back of the end zone.
Oh, dude, that's my background on my phone right now.
It was unbelievable. I was so happy when you sent the rankings and he was your number two, because I feel like he's dropping for no reason.
Oh, and I love dropping. This dude needs to be, if you don't want Judy to be your number one, this guy needs to be your number one. Oh man, he is unreal, man. I think he's like 6'3" or something like that. Just under 6'3". I think he's like 6'2¾", if is what I remember reading. But he's just such a solid route runner. His quick feet too. I mean, you know, when you look at guys like that, like him, I mean, he's long, he's lengthy, I think he's under 200 pounds. He's like 192 or something like that. You don't expect them to be like as compact. You expect them to be like long and lengthy and not be able to kind of keep their body under control. This dude is like unbelievable at that. Like, I can't even believe how good he is at keeping his body under control and just making unreal catches and being able to get in and out of his breaks and drop his hips and just explode. I mean, this is a guy that he's going to be a number one wide receiver on an NFL team. He's unreal. What he can do is he has good speed, long strides. But I'm not looking at him for like running away from guys. What he's going to do is just out jump you. He's going to, oh dude. Oh, I got to tell you, I just thought about it. You see that block he threw on, who the hell was it? Was it the Alabama game? Oh my God. I don't know what it was, but, Kyler Murray comes, he feels pressure, rolls out to his left, and CeeDee Lamb comes from like 15 yards and just speed, drops his shoulder and just, bam! Just smokes the dude. Unbelievable block, and he's going to give him and really just drives those guys where he need to be. So, very, very all-around wide receiver.
Good stuff. Ryan, you want to talk about him a little bit?
I mean, I don't know what to say with how excited you just got about him. All of that, but, I mean, dude catches everything. He beats almost everybody, which is huge now. And I mean, he outshined Hollywood Brown there, I thought, last year.
Yeah, 100%, man.
By a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's clear cut number two.
All right. So, in the effort of time here, we've got to quick fire these last couple here. So, Zach, go ahead and run through your, let's just do your top five for the receivers. Run through these next three guys real quick.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. I get too excited about these guys. You're good. I'm talking about them. I'll run through a few of them here. Laviska Shenault, very, very good in the contested catch, very versatile. Jalen Reagor, he's unbelievably quick and very, very stout. I mean, he's like, you know, 5'11", 195, but the dude plays like he's, you know, 6'4", 225 pounds. T. Higgins is another, you know, he's 6'4", actually 6'4", 200 pounds and plays very well. Colin Johnson, very compact, very someone who can, you know, dive and lay out and catch the ball and very under control for 6'6", 220. Henry Ruggs, a guy I talked about, very good speed and very good route runner. And Tyler Johnson, I wanted to get to him. He's my number eight guy out of Minnesota who is just one of the best route runners. But he used to play corner. Everyone's excited about this guy and how great he can be. He's in a lot of guys' top fives. But Tyler Johnson, he was actually recruited as a cornerback, so he's going to play defense. And you can see it in the way he dresses the ball and the way he catches. He has a weird catch technique, which I think he needs to fix before we get too excited about him. But I mean, get excited to watch him, but get too excited about him coming out in the NFL and being solid. He's got to work on that a little bit.
All right, Ryan, anybody you want to talk about?
I want to hit Henry Ruggs a little bit because he's completely overshadowed with all the talent in Alabama being behind Judy and Tua's there. He might be the fastest dude in football.
100%.
Like they did the NFL advanced stats and Tyreek Hill's the only person to hit 23 miles per hour in the NFL all of last year. Henry Ruggs hit 24.
Wow.
Dude is absolutely a burner. And the thing is, he's not just that. He's a great route runner. He runs after the catch and go deep. He breaks the outside. He does everything you want. He is a complete zone beater. He is a weapon at the next level. And he's going to fly up draft boards once people realize what he's capable of.
He doesn't care about his body either.
That's good and bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's good, but it's also bad because you don't want to see a dude getting hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think he has gotten hurt yet. Has he? Or if he has, I don't know about it. But yeah, dude, he gives up his body and just goes for the ball no matter where it is. I like a lot of what I've seen from Henry Ruggs.
I watched him the other day, and I just, anything I could find on him, I couldn't turn it off. It's exhilarating, man. Him and Etienne are like the two most exciting players in college.
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
That kind of explosive.
All right. Y'all got me all excited now. I want to draft next year. All right. So that's it for the prospects here. And Zach, go ahead and plug what you're working on. You said you were just getting 100 players. When do you think that'll be released?
Oh, dude, I can't tell you yet. It's coming very, very soon. Like, I am just itching. Like, you can hear my voice how excited I am. Like, this is coming, like, so soon. You're going to be able to see where I have these guys graded, how I grade them, what I'm doing, what I'm writing, what I think of this guy or that guy, or compared to, whoever in that whole entire class. Like, I have so much I'm working on. I think I might be over 150 now since the last time we talked, but it's crazy, man. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't do this without, my amazing fiance. She's so supportive. Like, I come home from work, I like just sit and chill, and then I go right to just scouting players. Like, I watch film. Like, even me and my boy, like, sit there and watch film every now and then. Like, he loves watching them with me and like pointing things out. Like, he's 6 years old, and the dude's like just rocking Viking shirts all day and watching football with me. So, yeah, dude, it's like all I do. I do it to like midnight, 1 a.m. Like, it's so much fun to me. And I've been working my ass off and like just trying to put out as much as I can for you guys. And I got a huge project coming up, coming with Matt Higgs and Aaron Schillinger too. So there's a lot of stuff coming up that you guys need to
tell them again. Tell them again where we can find it at.
Yeah, follow me at FFDynasty_ZTP. I'm putting stuff out all the time, and you're going to want to wait to see when this is dropped. I'm not going to tell you when it's coming, but it's getting close to the single digits in days, that's for sure.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's get to the forgotten player.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, so if you're new to the show, we do this every podcast. We go through and ask our guests to give us one player that they feel has been forgotten about from the past. Maybe they won them a championship. Maybe they were a one-hit wonder. Maybe they got injured and they were never the same again. So, Zach, let's go to you. Who is your forgotten fantasy player this week?
All right, so as you can tell, I'm a younger dude, right? I'm 25 years old, and I've been playing fantasy football. I've been playing since 2006. So I was in sixth grade, actually. I started playing fantasy football. The one guy, the first one that I thought of, I already told you guys about, so the second person I thought of was Knowshon Moreno from 2013.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I read off his stats real quick, played all 16 games. Dude had 241 rushing attempts, over 1,000 yards, and 10 touchdowns. I just remember having this guy on my team and just playing him and winning me a championship. And all my friends thought I was cheating or something. I mean, we were young. We didn't know what it was. But, I mean, Knowshon Moreno was my cheat code.
Knowshon Moreno, that is a great one. I actually have forgotten about him. That was awesome. That's a great one.
I actually used him in an argument like 2 weeks ago when I was kind of trashing Philip Lindsay a little bit.
Oh, you want to trash Philip Lindsay for a little while? We got more time, Jeff.
Yeah, we got time. Let's trash him. Go ahead.
I was just saying the Kubiak effect with him, but we'll leave it.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not high on Lindsay either. I'm a little bit higher on Freeman this year. I think Freeman actually, takes the majority of the snaps this year over Lindsay.
All right, man, Vic Fangio. That's all I got to say.
All right, guys, that's a wrap for the show. Zach, we're gonna go to you one more time. Give us your Twitter handle one more time.
At FFDynasty_ZTP. I'm dropping stuff every single day. You guys see it all the time. I'm putting stuff out there, so make sure you're following that.
Definitely a great follow, guys. And Ryan, where can we find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Serfoss, at Fancy FB Connect, and everywhere going for two.
All right, good stuff. And of course, you can find me here every Tuesday and Friday night, starting in the season, and goingfor2.com. And of course, on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Have a good night. Right.